The Indigo Girls playing live on Radio 2 in a song called Little Perennials from the new album, Despite Our Differences. So, Emily, in a way, this is like a new beginning, isn't it? You know, a new record label, a new producer.
It is like a new beginning. We were with Epic Records for many, many years, since 1988, 89. And we had run our course with them, and our contractual obligation was through. And so we started looking for other options, and we found Hollywood Records. It seems to be a good match for us. They're a smaller label and have fewer releases, so they tend to pay attention to their releases. And so far, we have good relationships with the people who work for the label, and that felt really good. And I have to say, you know, working with Mitchell Froom has really been a turning point for us, because he's a fantastic musician in his own right, a great composer. He's got perfect pitch. So he's like, and he's a great guy, super smart, super funny, dark sense of humor. Gets both Amy's songs and my songs, which is important because oftentimes they can be different from each other. And working in that casual environment of his home studio, where he's meticulous about his gear, and he would like help us. Typically, we don't let anybody mess with the structure or the harmonies or anything, but we trusted him so much that it was really a collaborative process with him from very early on, when we send him demo tapes and he would give us suggestions. And so we were like a family of musicians who were working together, and he really brought out the best in these songs. And as far as anything that feels like new life, it's like to make a record after so many years together that feels fresh to us and unfettered and unmessed with. And that was the team, and that was Mitchell.
Yeah. I mean, you could have a good relationship, Amy, with a producer, because if they're going to say, I really think you could do that a bit better, you know, that's, you need to be brave, and they need to have your trust, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, and I think the thing about Mitchell is that we are big fans of him and of his music and have wanted to work with him for so long that when we stepped into that, that's the purpose of it, was that we want to evolve more and give it up to somebody else a little bit and have them give us advice and stuff. So, and I still think about a lot of stuff I learn on this record right now when I'm in the writing process again, and even when I'm singing, about advice he would give us and just simple little things he would say. He has his little Mitchellisms. For me, it definitely was reinvigorating on a lot of levels.
When it was sorted that he was going to do it, did you go back and listen to some of the records he'd worked on? I mean, he's done Crowded House, hasn't he?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful sound he gets.
Chico Mato and
Suzanne Vega. Los Lobos. Elvis Costello.
Sheryl Crow.
Impressive list.
Yeah, pretty good list.
You hardly even have to go back and listen to it because you know that music so well. You know, it's just in your catalog. Mm.
And he goes through phases, so it's important to not expect him to be in the phase that he was in, you know, on Chiba Mato, and get that out of it, you know, so he would be like listening to his old stuff himself and say, I can't believe I did that or this. And it was interesting to see him, his perspective on the phases he's been through, and just respect where he's at now, and so he respects where you're at too, and you know, you're trying to evolve together, so it's good.
I mean, you mentioned a kind of a new beginning for you two, but almost for women, it seems to be, there's some good power going on at the moment. I mean, the Dixie Chicks at the Grammys was fantastic.
Yeah.
We were really thankful for that. I mean, we admire them both as people and as musicians. You know, they're just a great band. And so it was like a real, like, all right, maybe there was a little bit of justice after that terrible thing that happened to them.
I was there at Shepherd's Bush Empire.
Oh, you were?
When it happened, yeah.
Was there a... there wasn't a collective gasp in England, of course.
No.
Only in conservative
cheer.
America.
This was just an off-the-cuff comment.
Totally.
Really. Just said on the spur of the moment. We're referring to her saying it. She wasn't particularly proud to come from Texas, because that's where, well, she wasn't proud of George Bush coming from Texas.
She speaks her mind. She's like that, you know?
Yeah.
And she never backed down, and gotta admire that.
So, do we want a woman or a black president in the White House? I mean, it's going to be interesting.
The
isn't
dream
it?
Team, both of them. We want one of them,
you like
for president,
together.
One for vice president. I don't know. I haven't made up my mind.
I haven't either.
And because there's also, you know, Gore might announce that he's going to run, and John Edwards he's a little bit more moderate, but he's pretty cool. So it's hard. But I'm personally a really big Barack Obama fan, because when I hear him speak, I just start crying. And so there's something going on there for me, you know.
Yeah, he's compelling and galvanizing.
Visionary.
And being who you are as you were growing up, was that easy? Talking about your preference, really, if you don't mind discussing that.
No,
it's always a tricky thing, particularly with your parents, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I fell in love with another girl in high school in our era in the 80s. Where we lived, which was a little bit more conservative, Georgia and like the suburbs, there wasn't a lot of articulation of what it meant to be queer or anything. So I didn't really know what was going on, and I just was into it full force. So I spent a long time in the age of innocence, really, just being where I was until my mom sort of confronted me and asked me if I was gay. And I was like, I don't really know what that means. But over time, my parents were very conservative, but they've become extremely liberal socially. and both my sisters are gay, and so there was some hard road to be on, a lot of getting thrown out of the house and being called perverts for a while, but they've really evolved. I'm really proud of them. They've been through a lot to evolve, and lost a lot of friends along the way, and now everything's great. I feel great about it. I mean, Emily's experience is different, so...
Yeah, I come from, I guess, more politically liberal, my parents were, and my sister is very liberal, and I just had a good experience coming out. I came out to my parents separately. I remember having lunch with each of them. I'm like, oh no, I'm going to be the black sheep of the family, but they were very accepting. I think their greatest concern was that I would have a life of difficulty because of the way society treats queer people, and what it did for me was bolster my belief in being an activist, because there are so many, the terribly high suicide rate for gay teens and people who are kicked out of their house and kicked out of their church and completely ostracized by the community and thrown in the streets. And we're in this together, not just queer people, but all of us, for the sake of decency and humanity and for understanding each other. And so being able to come out and have an experience like I did made me really want to just be able to be part of the movement and help everybody who's queer feel comfortable with that.
It's unusual to use that word, which I suppose is acceptable again, but it used to be an insult.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's interesting, the language of the gay movement goes around, and I think queer became a more acceptable term when it's a generational thing, really, and a younger term a lot of times to encompass transgender issues as well, because it became a thing where you had to say lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, you know, a long list of things, and so people just say queer, you know, to identify an alternative life, you know, basically, and a different way of looking at things, gender, a different way of looking at gender, even your gender being separate from what your sexuality is, sort of. So that term, I think, has been reclaimed in a way. And we go through times, you know, like where lesbian sort of derogatory now is being kind of nerdy and
old school
or something.
So,
you know, so I mean, we say lesbian still, but like it's, people make fun of lesbians all the time, you know, certain kind of gay women that are a certain stereotype or whatever. So definitely within the movement, there's all these little twists and turns. It's kind of funny, you know, because when we talk to our friends that are straight, they're just like, we don't even know how to keep up with the language that you're using. I'm like, yeah, it is kind of.
Because it's been easier for men, hasn't it? They were just out there and sort of...
I don't know about that, though.
I don't know.
Maybe in a cosmopolitan setting, but like if in the country or something.
I only think because women have been raised culturally to be able to nurture, to be able to touch each other, hug each other, whatever. There's the physicality of relationships between women that's been acceptable that I think in some ways makes it easier for women in terms of society, whereas men have that pressure to be macho. And recently there was a big uproar in the States with the Super Bowl, this Snickers commercial where these two guys end up kissing each other inadvertently because they're both eating the candy bar. And there was a huge uproar about it, you know, and it just is indicative of that, how it's so uncomfortable for men to be physically close. So I believe it's harder.
Well, the uproar was that they have a fight afterwards.
Well,
they're
yeah.
So mad that they kissed. So the gay groups got mad at Snickers for the commercial.
Yeah, yeah.
It was interesting that Snickers pulled it.
But just the point being their complete and utter discomfort with what had just happened. And in the context of, the macho football game. But there are those of us women who love football as well, I must remind you. American football.
It's funny, isn't it? There always seems to be something going on at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Of course, it's
last year Janet Jackson, and now it's the gay uproar.
Yeah.
Well, I think a good time for another song.
Okay, cool.
What would you like to do?
We're going to do a new song off the record called Pendulum Swinger.
Okay.